Good evening, ladies. We are going to start this evening by reading Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit produced, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all of its varied expressions. It is joy that overflows. It is peace that subdues. It is patience that endures. It is kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. That's Galatians 5, and that is 22 and 23, and that's out of the Passion Translation, which I love that. Love that in this. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, he begins to produce life-giving fruit in our lives. And it says in 2 Peter 1:3, that by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. But to do this, it is essential that we let our spirits lead. Our spirits must lead, not our flesh, not our flesh. God knows that we will find our greatest joy and satisfaction when we live led by his spirit. It's how he designed it. It's how he designed it. So what does it mean to be led by the spirit? It means that we allow God's spirit to rule, subdue, take ownership of our soul. At times, that is a very hard thing to do, is it not? Yes. And it may seem like God is turning our whole world upside down. But in actual fact, he is turning it right side up. He is turning it right side up. You'll begin to experience how his refining and molding and shaping of you, though sometimes painful and hard, is actually healing your mind and your emotions. So how do we let the Spirit lead? Simply this: by feeding our spirit more than we feed our soul and our flesh. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Okay, I'm going to read this. A Cherokee elder was teaching his young grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. And the other is good. He's joy. He's peace. He's love. He's hope. He's serenity. He's humility. He is kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. That same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The boy thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And his grandfather simply replied, "The one you feed." And so it is. What are we feeding? Are we feeding the spirit? Are we feeding the flesh? So much talk about our thoughts in this study. That's what we're talking about. We have the mind of Christ, and we oftentimes are not walking in that mind of Christ. We're walking in our own reasoning. We're walking in our own strength. We're walking in our own power. We're doing it. That's what we call walking in the flesh. And so the natural byproduct of that, of course, is, guess what? Our thoughts are fleshly. Our emotions are fleshly and out of control most times. Years of living with worldly, self-focused, flesh-driven, negative images and thought patterns leave our souls a toxic mess. When we ignore our soul, it gets loud, especially when we are in need of healing in some deep unknown places in us. There's no quiet, there's no peace, there's no self-reflection. Here's what there is: worry, fear, doubt, and seeking more and more for self. There's no focus on the spiritual side of who God created us to be. I wish that I could say that our mind, our will, and our emotions could just be restored to factory settings. You know how you can do if your computer goes south on you? Well, you can restore to factory settings. It's a default. It's something that's built in there so that the whole thing doesn't crash. And I really wish that that was us, but it isn't like that. We don't get to push a button and go back to the factory settings. We don't get to do it. But here's what we do get. Okay. We get in Psalm 18:2, we get this amazing verse among many others. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my savior. God is my rock in whom I find protection. He's my shield. He is the power that saves me. And he is my place of safety. He is my place of safety. The Lord himself is our fortress. He is the only safe stronghold in our lives. And the dictionary will define stronghold as a place that has been fortified, a place that has been secured, as to protect against attack, Nice. So by shifting our minds from flesh to spirit, again, I wish I could tell you this was a one-time act. You know, push a button and, you know, no, it's not a one-time act. This is an ongoing process. And as long as you are breathing air down here on earth, you will be in this process. There is no arriving. There is no arriving. True story. I actually had a gal say to me once, "Oh, I learned that. I've got that. I've got it down." I said, "Seriously? You don't ever walk back in the flesh?" No. I walk in the spirit." And I said, "Wow. Well, that's kind of amazing, because how do you deal with this and this and this?" And I started listing them off, and she goes, "Well, I suppose pretty much like anybody else." And I said, "Well, that's actually not walking in the spirit. That's actually walking in your flesh."
Yeah.
So what an illusion or delusion, that is the more accurate word, to actually think, "Yeah, I've got this. I've got this." No, we don't have it. If we had it, wow, if we had it, that would be like kind of amazing. It is not a one-time decision. It is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment choice to move from chaos and confusion toward the peace of Christ, okay? The mind of Christ in all of those areas of our thought lives. We have to shift them all. That's what we're talking about. So capturing these thoughts is going to take work. This is not just once and done. It will take work. But the reward of sharing the Lord's peace and joy, it is priceless. It is priceless. So we have decided to take our thoughts back from the enemy. That's pretty much what this is about, this study, taking your thoughts back from the enemy. So we have to begin to think about what we're thinking about. We have to begin to think about what we are thinking about. Kind of sounds exhausting a little bit, doesn't it? But it's an exercise that we have to start doing. It's something that we have to start doing. For example, just for an example, how often do you tell yourself that you're helpless, worthless, unlovable, that you're not capable, smart, skinny, beautiful, or strong enough, or nothing good ever happens for me? How often do you worry about tomorrow, your finances, what other people are thinking about you? How often do you feel judged, condemned over past mistakes, or like you don't belong, or that you need to prove your worth to others? And the list really just goes on and on and on, just kind of goes on and on. So before you can take those thoughts captive, you have to identify them. You actually have to identify them. And this is the cliff notes of how to do that. This is just the abbreviated how you do it, okay? The first thing you do is grab the thought. And I'm going to use her example. It's a good one. Grab the thought. So what is that thought? Well, her thought was, I need to prove my worth to others. That was her thought. The second thing you do is diagnose the thought. In other words, is it true? Is it true? Well, when she diagnosed the thought, she said, no, I live for Jesus, an audience of one. I live for Jesus, an audience of one, and he already approves of me. Okay. So the next thing you do is take it to God. Take it to God. So what does God say? What does God say about that? Okay. Well, what God told her was 1 John 3:1 tells me that I am a deeply loved child of God. So if someone disagrees or still believes that you need to prove your worth, it is because they have an improper understanding of God and who God is. If people are making you feel like that, some of them are not even Christians, but some of them are Christians with a limited understanding of who God is. So keep that in mind. You do not have to prove yourself to anyone, all right? And then you make a choice. That's the last thing that you do. You make a choice. So am I going to believe God and what he says about me? Or am I going to choose to believe the lie? Am I going to choose to believe me? So you get to make a choice. I get to make a choice. That's kind of empowering, by the way. We get to choose that. That's actually empowering. It's just that we don't realize that we have spent so much time agreeing with the enemy and what he says about us, the lies. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. And the truth is not in him. There is no truth in him. And sadly, we have come into agreement with that when we believe these lies about ourselves. Okay? When we capture our thoughts for Christ, we are actually making a deliberate choice to come into agreement with God and his truth. And in John 8:32, it tells us that his truth will set us free. His truth will set us free. But I am going to tell you, you have to make a deliberate choice to come into agreement with God, because it is not the natural thing to do. It is not, that's not your default. That's not the natural thing that you're going to do. This is something you have to work at doing, because the lies, the things that we have chosen, either that someone else has done to us, said about us, or whatever, those things are in there and they're ingrained in there, and they've been in there for a long time. And so the harder thing to do here is actually to come into agreement with God. But this is just the quick little, it's the process. It's the how you do it. You see, every toxic thought, spiraling emotional cycle, and trap of the enemy we fall for, somehow deep down actually roots itself in an incorrect belief about God. That's actually going to be its root, okay? For instance, her lie, I need to prove my worth to others, okay? Well, here's what happened to cause that. During her teen years, her father, earthly father, reminded her repeatedly that she would never amount to anything. She would never amount to anything. And when I left home, his words became my script. I mean, did I realize that? You know, maybe not on a conscious level, but you see, you're thinking thoughts 24/7. Okay. So when she became a new creation at her point of salvation, she realized that she never should have carried her earthly father's cruel words beyond the cross. But unfortunately, guess what was in there longer? Guess what had been in there? Okay. And just because we step into our relationship and we all of a sudden have so many things that are ours, the mind of Christ, freedom from these lies, these thoughts, all of those things are ours. We're not tapping into those because there's still that stuff sticking back there. It's sticking back there. And like, you don't realize it's there until something bumps up against it. And then all of a sudden, if you trace it back, you're going to find that that's where that ever came from, was way back there. So because her earthly father, that's how he felt about her and spoke it repeatedly. Okay, then she felt that she had to prove her worth to God. She didn't feel like he accepted her either. And so very often, this is very, very true. However, the earthly father and some of those things were said or done, then very often that just translates and it becomes some of how you deal in adult life. And you know what? And here is where I want to say, even if you had the most awesome dad in the world, and I had a great dad, wow, morally sound, you know, just really a great dad. Did he do life perfectly? No. Did he say things that I'm sure he wished would not have imprinted here in my thought process, you better believe he did. And not because he was evil, not because he was bad or any of those things, but because we're human and because those things will come out. And they're done in a moment of in a moment of anger or frustration, or they're just done out of carelessness, just carelessness, never realizing the weight of the words, never realizing the weight of the words. But we, in this study, are examining our thoughts. That's what we're doing here. We're learning how to recognize the toxic ones. So if you can, for a moment, picture the backpack on the back, on your back, picture the backpack and picture rocks, like, you know, a little bigger than gravel rocks, a little bigger, but not huge. Okay. And each of the thoughts or each of the lies or each of those kinds of things, it's a rock in your backpack. It's a rock in your backpack until you are carrying around a weight that is too much. It's too much. And we can't deal, really. We can't, you know, we can't deal. So it is time to unload the backpack. It's time to get those toxic things out of there. It's time to get them out. And here are some steps that we can take to help do that. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, then think about these things." Think about these things, not spiraling or not going round and round and round when something bumped up against one of those rocks in your backpack, one of those thoughts back there. Not rolling that around in there, but doing this. Think on what's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. Think about those things. Thus, removing a rock. Thus, removing a lie, a thought. And another step that we can take is take responsibility. Whatever happened in your past may or may not have been in your control. It may or may not have been, but either way, it's time to take ownership of the pain that it caused, whether it came by your hand or whether it came by the hand of someone else. The fact is, it caused some emotional trauma. It caused some pain. It's where we take ownership of our pain, our thoughts, and our emotions. And then we will be mindful to expose every lie one by one. I'm going to tell you something. That backpack did not magically get full. It's not like a whole load just got dumped in the backpack. It came in one by one by one, until it turned into something quite heavy, something never, ever intended for us to carry around or be consumed with. So we are going to be mindful to expose every lie, and one by one, we are going to let his truth begin the process of healing. And we are going to unload that backpack. We're going to unload it. Kind of exciting, right? Another step that we can take in this process is it's called truth journaling. I liked that. I thought that was very good. It's where you write down the lies that you battle with, and then you have to find the scripture that takes it out, the scripture that annihilates it, the scripture that just obliterates it. Okay. Yes. So sort your thoughts into piles. It's somewhat like cleaning out a closet.
Would you call it write a what journal?
What?
What was the journal title?
Oh, it's called Truth Journaling. Okay. Truth Journaling. It's where you're going to get down and get. It's where you're going to get down and get to it.
Good.
It's actually telling the truth to yourself and saying, that is something I struggle with. That is actually something I struggle with. Okay. So it's going to be like cleaning out your closet to see what stays and what needs to go. It will help us to see the bigger picture and expose any dangerous patterns or mindsets that we may actually be harboring. I don't know about your closet, but I can tell you what my closet looks like. My closet is full of this one little section of the things that I wear, the things that currently fit me and the things that I wear. That's actually a fairly small section in there, to be honest. Okay. And then there's this section stuck over here to the back, and that's the stuff that's all too big and, you know, and doesn't fit it anymore. Praise God for that. I'm actually quite thrilled about that. Okay. And then there's this other side of the closet. Oh yeah. That's the stuff that I can't wear yet. That's the stuff that's too small. Okay. Okay. So here's the deal. This section is the truth. This section is the truth. This and this, they are not the truth. They are not the truth. So guess what? Ladies, time to clean the closet. Time, unload the rocks or get the clothes out. Get the clothes out that fit in those other two categories, okay? And don't hang on to the stuff that's small, you know, because with the hopes of being small, because we do want to be small. But you know something? By the time you are there, it's out of date, doesn't fit. And you know something? If you should go that direction, praise God for that. Go buy yourself something new. Go get something new to fit the new you. What that part of the closet signifies to you, it's something that once fit, now doesn't. So look at the failure you feel like you are because you cannot get back there. That makes you feel like a failure. Whereas it kind of makes you feel good. Okay. It kind of makes you feel good to look over here and see that that's all too big, but you know what? Out it goes. All of it, too big, too small, needs to go. Stay here. Stay in the truth. That's why it's called truth journaling. Get to the bottom of the truth, because you're deluding yourself over here on this side of the closet, as are you over here on this side of the closet. So don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. The next thing to stay the course, another step that we take, is be mindful to feed your spirit each day to strengthen it. Remember the two wolves? Which one is going to win, grandfather? The one you're feeding. Strengthen your spirit. Be mindful to feed it each day. Too often, it's too easy to take in the news, take in social media, take in any number of things before you are taking in the word of God. So got to change that, okay? Turn off the news, turn up the praise and worship music to shift the atmosphere. Got to shift it. Want to get your thoughts back on track and start your day? Well, hello. That's the way to do that. That's the way to do that. Also, another step that we can take is scripture memorization. Okay, don't freak when I say that word. Okay, but it is one of the most practical ways to set your mind. One of the most practical ways to set your mind is to meditate on scripture. And I have different ones that will say, well, I don't know how to meditate. And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure you know how to meditate. I said, do you know how to worry? Well, yeah, I know how to worry. Everybody knows how to worry. And I said, then you know how to meditate. That is simply going over it and over it and over it and giving it, okay, well, guess what? It works in the reverse. And I have a news flash for you. Want to know how God created you? You know how he created you? It was to meditate on the word of God, not to worry. He did not create you to worry. He created you to meditate on his word. Get it in you. That's what he created you for. Okay. And if we were doing this, on a regular basis, which is the whole goal of this study, is chasing out those thoughts by putting God thoughts in, right? Okay. If in fact that is what we were doing, you want to just watch the worry meter go down and down and down to almost non-existent. And even if you did start to worry over something, you're learning the steps, you're learning the procedure, you know what to do to change that. You grab that, you interrupt that before it turns into an unhealthy spiral. And worry is an unhealthy spiral. It isn't, it's one of the worst things we can do. My mom used to have this. She made it into a magnet, and it was a picture of a rocking chair, and it was on her refrigerator, and it said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Not going to get you anywhere. All right. Really not going to get you anywhere and set you back terribly. So these are steps that we can take that will help us in this process. God is far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. Far more interested. I'm not saying he won't change your circumstances. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for that. I'm not saying that, but he is way more interested in changing the mind. Our minds are the thing that have to change regardless of our circumstances. So very often what we want to do is we want to pray and have the circumstances go away. That's what we want to do. We do not, however, want to put the time in to change the mind. I've said it before. I will say it again before we're finished with this. You got to learn to mind your mind. You have to learn to make your mind mind. You really do. I know that's a lot of that, but I get that. Like, I totally get that. Mind your manners, mind your mind. Start minding your mind. It's so important. So important. And be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful. Be careful how you think. Your mind is shaped by your thoughts. That is Proverbs 4:23. And that is in the Good News Translation. I loved the way it said that. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So though most of us long for God to take away the problems, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, the sickness, and sadness, God would choose to work on you first, because transformation doesn't happen in your life until you renew your mind. You have to renew your mind until your thoughts begin to change. So why is it so important to learn how to manage your mind? Well, I'm sure there are many more, but I'm going to give you three reasons why that is incredibly important to manage your mind. Okay, the first one, I already said it, because your thoughts control your life. Because those thoughts you think, they control your life. And again, the verse, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So your thoughts have this tremendous ability to shape your life for good or bad. For example, maybe you were told while growing up, you're worthless, you don't matter. And you accepted that thought, even though that was wrong. That was a wrong thought. But now years later, it's actually shaping your life. And that is how come it is so important to choose the thoughts that you allow going on in your head. So important, so important. Secondly, because the mind is the battleground for sin. The mind is the battleground for sin. I tell you something, nobody just randomly goes and sins. Like, it doesn't just randomly happen. Oh my goodness, look at that. I just did that. I'm so sorry. It started with a thought. It started with a thought that you entertained one too many times and then acted on. Yeah, that's where it begins. All temptation begins in the mind. And Paul tells us that in Romans 7, 22 and 23. He says this so well. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that's still within me. So in my mind, I want to be God's willing servant. I do. I want to be. But instead, I find myself still enslaved to the sin. There it is. There it is. And that is something we struggle with, all of us struggle with. One of the reasons that we get mentally fatigued, have you ever been mentally fatigued? Wow, yes, a resounding yes. One of the reasons that we get mentally fatigued is because there is a battle going on in your brain 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. It is debilitating because it is so intense. And it is intense because your mind is your greatest asset. Let me say that again. Your mind is your greatest asset, and Satan wants your greatest asset. He wants it, absolutely wants it. Okay, and thirdly, you want to mind your mind and take these thoughts captive because it's the key to peace. Happiness, okay? An unmanaged mind leads to tension. A managed mind leads to tranquility, peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict. A managed mind leads to confidence. When you don't control the way you direct your thoughts, you will experience an enormous amount of stress in your life. But a managed mind will lead to strength and security and peace. Wow. Wow. That's quite the promise. That's quite the promise. The Bible tells us letting your sinful nature control your minds will lead to death. but letting the spirit control your mind will lead to life and peace. Romans 8, 6 will lead to life and peace. So if we want to change our life, and we all do, certainly some aspects of it, if not the whole thing, but you have to start by changing the way you think. It starts by changing the way you think. It doesn't start by changing locations geographically. It doesn't start by doing all of these things that we do to change our life. It doesn't start like that. It starts by changing the way you think. Changing your thoughts is the key to a fresh start in any area, whether that's a hobby, whether that's your career, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a marriage, maybe it's parenting. Ephesians 4:23 says this, be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh and untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Love that. That is the amplified version on that verse. Power verse. So what's a renewed mind? It means that you have fresh thoughts. Wow. Give me some of that. And fresh attitudes. It means that you take your wrong attitudes and your wrong thoughts and you surrender them, letting God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. And then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to him and is perfect. That's Romans 12:2. That's Romans 12:2. So we are renewing this mind by doing two things. We've referenced it before. We're going to say it again. First, you're listening to God's word more than you are the world. Okay, the Bible says, happy are those who find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time, and whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. That's Psalm 1:1-3. Would you like those characteristics to be true of your life? Then meditate on the word of God each day, every day. Second, think about what you think about. You've got to start thinking about what you think about. It's that managing your mind again. It's that mind your mind, make it mind. Instead of automatically accepting every thought you have, because we've talked about this before, we've said, we didn't realize that we could do that differently. We didn't realize that we don't have to be subject to our thoughts. We don't have to accept every thought. We have a choice. We have a choice, that empowering, amazing choice to interrupt those thoughts when they are not healthy and good, when they are not healthy and good. This would be a bit of a challenge for you to consider doing on a given day. Although we've been practicing renewing this mind, and we've been practicing trying to manage this mind, we've been practicing those things, but even yet at this juncture in this study, keeping track of the thoughts, tally marks, just a little tally mark that says, oops, that wasn't a good one. Oops, that wasn't a good one. Oops, that one wasn't a good one. That was a good one. Like that. And see what is outweighing what, so that you see how much minding your mind you got to do, so that you see how many of those thoughts you have got to take captive. You've got to walk through the process. It will help you to do that. Think about what you think about. And instead of automatically accepting every thought you have, challenge them. Say no, that is not true. That is not true. This is what the word says. That's not true. So when you have a thought, ask yourself questions like this. Do I want to think about this? You know, when I was putting this together, I went, wow, just that right there made me, do I want to think about this? No, I don't want to think about this. Okay. Is this really true? Is this really true? Okay. Ask yourself that. Is this helpful? Is this what I'm thinking about in any way helpful? What is its end? Is this helpful? I think you will find very often not helpful, harmful. How does it make me feel? How does that thought make me feel? How does it make me feel? Do I want to feel that way? Because guess what? You can choose. You can choose. The thought happens before the feeling. You get to choose. Whoa. Okay. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Or I really like it in the NLT, we capture rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. I like it. Any good teacher is going to like that one.
1 Corinthians 10:5.
That one is 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yep. All your feelings are caused by a thought. If you don't like the way you feel, then you need to change the way you think. Wow. That's kind of liberating, ladies. Kind of liberating, actually. Simply take the thought that is causing the bad feelings and replace it with a different thought. And replace it with a different thought. And of course, be careful how you think, because what? Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23 again. So instead of playing those old tapes over and over and over again in your mind, confront those thoughts. What you think about is your choice. This is all about choosing, and you get to choose. And you don't have to believe every thought you have. You do not have to believe every thought you have. So when you confront a thought that you know is not true, you can choose to change what you're thinking, and you replace it with God's truth about that. You replace it with God's truth. And the only way to know God's truth is, ding, 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 get in his word to know his truth. Okay. The more time you choose to spend in God's word, the more his truth will change your thoughts. His truth will change your thoughts. So start changing your thinking today. Today, right now. This isn't, I'll wait until tomorrow. I'll wait until tomorrow to do that. You know what? Yeah. You know something? None of us would ever diet. None of us would ever do any of those. We don't do those things by saying, I'll do that tomorrow. Okay? Start changing your thinking today, even yet, in the amount of hours that you have left before you're laying your head to the pillow. It will give you a fresh start, and it, because you're going to have to practice this. We've talked about it, but you're going to have to practice this. So get on it, okay? Practice, 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 okay? Eventually, it changes your life. It will change your life. You will be living differently. You will be living above your circumstances. You won't be living in them. You won't be living, you won't be on the defense. You will be storming the gates of hell. You will be pushing him back. You're pushing him out of your stuff, and it's a choice that you make. But you gotta get good at this, okay? Because he is gonna be sitting right there, right there, right there to derail you. to take your thoughts down a path that they have previously gone. So there might be some rocks hanging out in that backpack. Well, chances are there are rocks hanging out in the backpack. Okay, probably no might about that. So again, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. That's Hebrews 3:1. Okay. Fix those thoughts on Jesus. Proverbs 4:25-26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Proverbs 4:25-26. And Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Fixed on you.
That was Isaiah.
Isaiah 26:3. Okay. You fight the devil's lies by simply choosing not to think about them. Don't let them take one more loop. Don't let them take you down a spiral. You fight the devil's lies by simply choosing not to think about them. Okay, but we all know we can't think about nothing. So you have to give your mind to something. And this is where the word comes in. You have to give your mind something else to think about. So you're going to replace the devil's lies with God's truth, and thereby cutting new neural pathways that will eventually take root in the very biology of you. Wow. Your body itself. You literally become what you give your mind to. But it's a lie from the pit of hell that I'm just this way. I'm just made this way. It's just my bend. It's just how I do things. That's just my personality. It's just this. It's just that. No, you can cut new neural pathways. Science proves it. The word proves it. It's, you know, you find that, wow, that's just a wow to me, that they're just now discovering, you know, the science is discovering, oh, yeah, this is how it goes. I'll be, how about that? Okay. So that is what we want to do. And remember this. The only power the enemy has over you are the lies you choose to believe. They're the lies that you choose to believe. That's the only power he's got. And wow, does he put up this front that makes him appear, oh, so ominous. Honestly, this battle is won in the mind. Again, I say it. This battle is won in the mind. Okay? In the mind. Okay? Remind yourself daily and in every stressful situation that what you think comes kind of out the mouth. Okay. So remind yourself that your words have the capacity to determine your very destiny, and don't allow your tongue a free-for-all. don't allow your tongue to have a free-for-all lifestyle, but give it strict boundaries that are set by what? Your mind. Again, the mind. Okay. Those strict boundaries are set in the mind. And then your mouth will not run off about things that it should not be running off about. Okay. Set by your mind, which now thinks the thoughts of Christ, and by your heart, which is extremely well guarded by the word of God. You see, it is your mind that gives your mouth voice. It's your mind. If you didn't first think it, you wouldn't be saying it. Okay? First you think it. And then it comes out. And I'll guarantee you it comes out at the most inopportune time ever. Okay? Just does. Just does. So the mind gives your mouth fuel from which to speak. And then your heart is the motor that kickstarts the mouth. Yeah. So if you don't think something, if you don't think it, if you're minding your mind here, and if you don't think it, you'll never say it. You won't say it. How about that? It had to be a thought or it wouldn't have come out. Okay. And if you don't feel something, you'll never speak it. Okay. So we definitely, definitely want to keep that in mind. Definitely want to keep that in mind. And again, I'm going to read Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my savior. He is my God. He is my rock in whom I find protection. He's my shield. He's the power that saves me. And he is my place of safety. Run to it. Run to it. It's a fortress. It's a place. You are safe there. You are protected there. Run to it. Run to it. I'm going to close this in prayer. And I'm actually going to walk us through praying on the armor. I'm actually going to walk us through that in our prayer. Heavenly Father, I will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Today, I will put on the full armor of God so that I can take a stand against the devil's schemes. My struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, I will put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, and it is here, I will be able to stand my ground. Father God, I put on your helmet of salvation. I am saved by your grace, and my mind is covered. It is protected and healed by the blood of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Your truth is a firewall that surrounds me. I have the ability to choose Christ over this culture. Father God, gird me with the belt of truth. I believe your word is the absolute truth, and I choose to build my life on it. No matter what comes my way today, your truth will help me to stand strong. Centered on the rock, I can resist all the accusations of the enemy. Father God, please cover and protect my heart with a breastplate of righteousness. By your grace alone, I am forgiven and restored to right relationship with you. The enemy has no say in this and can never condemn my heart for what you have already forgiven. Father God, I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Everywhere I go today, I choose to be your instrument of peace. I will be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks me to give the reason for the hope that I have in Christ. And Father God, I hold up the shield of faith. I will not fear when lies or accusations come my way today. I will not address them in my strength. I will instead let those lies collide with your truth head on. You alone are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And finally, I will take up the sword of the Spirit, for your word is active and powerful for the tearing down of all the lies of the enemy. Help me live yielded to your word so that I can boldly and effectively wield your word. Today, I choose to speak truth and life over myself, over my circumstances, and over other people. This is how I choose to fight my battles today, and I will remain at rest in you, Lord. Amen.